Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Taliban leaders declared Monday the war is over after taking control of Kabul's presidential palace. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken says he feared U.S. troops would have come under Taliban attack if they'd have remained in Afghanistan any longer. President Biden on July 8th discounted a reporter's question that intelligence agencies warned him Afghanistan would fall.
That is not true. They did not reach that conclusion. There's going to be no circumstance where you see people being lifted off the roof of a embassy. The likelihood there's going to be the Taliban overrunning everything and owning the whole country is highly unlikely.
President Biden stayed on vacation while Kabul fell to the Taliban. A handful of people have died at the Kabul airport trying to flee the country Monday. Speaker Nancy Pelosi praised President Biden Saturday, saying in a tweet, "The president should be commended for the clarity of purpose of his statement on Afghanistan and his action." End quote. USA Radio News.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer, "It's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel." Amazon customer, "Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it." Amazon customer, "Excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Shipments from China are trying to flood the United States with fake vaccination cards. Jeremy Scott from the Oregon USA Radio News Bureau explains.
15 times in one night, U.S. Customs and Border Protection caught a shipment from China to Louisiana, which contained 51 blank counterfeit vaccination cards. Over 3,000 total were seized in Memphis, Tennessee, that were en route to other cities around the U.S. Officials say there has been a surge in fake vaccination cards after cities such as New York City announced it would mandate vaccine passports at certain businesses starting next month, and a growing number of colleges and universities across the country will require vaccination for students to attend classes in person. The FBI warning back in March that buying, selling, or using a counterfeit COVID-19 vaccination card is a crime. Violators can face a fine and up to 5 years in prison. From the USA Radio News Oregon Bureau, I'm Jeremy Scott.
Thanks for listening. It is well appreciated. We are USA Radio News.
Boostar Medicated Ointment gets 5-star reviews from our loyal users for fast relief of the pain and itch of almost any skin irritation.
Boostar soothes insect bites and fungal infections.
It really works on the summer rashes I get every year.
I had psoriasis on my elbows. Boostar worked wonders.
Amazing stuff. Smear a bit on and the itch is gone.
Look for the white box with the blue star in the first aid section. Feel blue star work fast, or your money back.
As the Taliban take control of Afghanistan over the weekend, President Biden continues to vacation as all the achievements for women in Afghanistan evaporated. Any hope of democracy was destroyed after 20 years of U.S. blood, treasure, and lives were invested into Afghanistan. The Biden administration is blaming the intelligence community for the collapse failure in Afghanistan, as we're back to 2001's threats all over again. Congresswoman Jackie Speier of California on CNN.
This is a crisis of untold proportions. This is an intelligence failure. We underestimated the Taliban and overestimated the resolve of the Afghan army.
Retired Brigadier General of the United States Army Anthony Tata on Fox News puts the failure squarely on the Biden administration, not to mention U.S. weapons technology will soon be in the hands of our enemies.
And it's not so much they're using it, though that concerns me, but it's the intelligence exploitation that will happen with Iran and China as they sell it, and even Pakistan there's a lot of second and third order effects here. The first issue right now is to protect Americans and to make sure that this lack of planning, this lack of due diligence does not lead to significant or any loss of life on Americans. Because the president's first responsibility is to protect American lives and property. They wrote off the property.
I'm Lance Pryan. This is USA Radio News.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-399-3706. 800-399-3706. 800-399-3706. Again, that's 800-399-3706.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with...
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop.
Hey, we're back with you. Good to have you with us, sharing a part of your day. For more info on the show, you want to go to BillMartinezShow.com. It's all right there, including the entire archive of these great interviews that we deliver every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, these experts in their respective fields. Whether we're talking about COVID, things of a government, things of culture, all right there, absolutely free, because we're givers, okay? That's the way we roll, and we're grateful for all these great guests to come on, including our next guest, Tanya Hendricks. We're going to be talking about her new book, Equal Protection Under God, Gender Equality and Women's Roles in the Church. She's an attorney, a theologian, and author, and she wants to share the powerful message that God does not discriminate based on gender. Tanya, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thank you very much.
Well, okay, so this seems to me that this is an issue that you've been carrying for quite a while. Explain to our audience the backstory of equal protection under God.
The backstory is... I have worked with women across the board, just in my professional life as an attorney, but also I've done a lot of work with sex trafficking victims, domestic violence victims, and sexual assault victims. And I have seen the look of despair and confusion in their eyes when they've been rejected by the church, or when they have been told that they have to do certain things because the Bible tells them. And so that's really where my passion comes from in helping women, in addition to my own personal life. I grew up in the church. My father was a Baptist preacher, and I have experienced the discrimination of being a woman in the church and trying to lead and being completely ignored by the church leadership. Mm-hmm. And so my passion is really to help women overcome that, for them to see that the value and the worth that God has for them, that God mm-hmm. declares for them in the Bible, because it's right there in black and white that women are valued. Women are not inferior.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tanya, I would say that this is one of those dynamics that swings both ways. There are many men who have tried to get involved with the church, and for whatever reason, they've been disqualified.
Sure.
You know, so it go, you know, what you bring up in this case, and I want our audience to understand, there is, it's relative, I mean, to both genders. When we talk about gender equality, I mean, it's women's roles in church, there's men's roles in the church, people who are miscast. I mean, people are miscast just in their jobs. I mean, when you got, less than 10% of people in the U.S. labor force are fulfilled in their daily jobs. Well, what does that tell you? I mean, this is one of those equal opportunity dysfunctions that is in the realm of the human experience, is it not? But it, when you think, particularly when I'm like you, I'm somewhat idealistically fixed that this is God's church, and God, you know, God looks at the totality of the assets that are involved in this church that he created so that even the gates of hell could not prevail against, right? And so
right.
We need to have the right people in the right positions, and that's up to leadership. And in fact, we just had this conversation the other day, and I think this is where, you know, one of the key areas where the church falls short in is that they have people coming to church, they're in the pews, but they have no idea who they are. They may have their name on a roll and stuff like that, but they don't have no idea what they're involved in. Are they in computer science, or there's other interests? What's in their heart? Because at the very, you know, bottom opportunity of this experience is that people want to serve the church. If you get them serving in the church, my goodness, you have activated a soul to a supernatural degree, because now they're serving God, and how much more effective do they become as, you know, participants in their family or their community because they're serving God?
Exactly. Yes, absolutely.
Right.
Yes.
So,
and by not allowing women to serve in those roles, we're taking out 50% plus
right.
of the church population.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then what are we missing perchance? You know, because that one woman, for example, let's just say one woman who is ignored, who has the answers to the ills of that church, has the insight. Because as we know, God has a way of working, you know, through his people. We are his, we're his eyes, we're his arms, we're his legs in the body of Christ, you know, to affect his kingdom. And, you know, that's to me is one of the biggest frustrating things that you could experience is to be a round peg in a square hole or to be ignored altogether when you,
right.
you have that, you know, you have that heart to serve, and, God only knows, maybe God gave you the answer, didn't give it to the pastor, but gave you the answer. And it's the very answer the pastor's been praying and looking for.
Exactly. And two, I mean, I think, you know, if you've got a woman that's got the ability, she's equipped, and she is silenced, not only does that impact and affect her, and she may leave the church and give up on her faith.
Exactly.
But you've also got the women and the young girls around her that see that, mm-hmm. and they don't want to be a part of a church or even a faith or a God that doesn't recognize and esteem the very gifts and abilities that this God has given them. I mean,
Amen.
Our gifts and abilities come from God,
mm-hmm.
and it's to be that one body. You know, we are called to be one body in Christ, but we have different members. We got an arm, we got a leg.
Right.
So you've got to have the people equipped in these different areas that will bring forth the entire body and make it a whole, healthy body.
Mm-hmm. How are Christian women responding to your book?
So far, it's been very positive. I've had a few women who were like, I've never been treated inferior. But for the most part, everyone has been receptive. I've been hearing story after story from particularly women over the age of, I'd say, 40, maybe 35, 40,
mm-hmm.
who this is their experience. This was
yes.
how they experienced church growing up. And I've put into words what they have felt. And their frustrations for years, and they are looking at things that I've written in the book, particularly about the story of Adam and Eve. Like, I never knew that about Adam. I never knew that Adam was present when this situation happened and he was silent.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hearing from a lot of women, this is their story.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, time and again, this is their story, and this has opened their eyes to something, but also given them hope that what Jesus does and how he treats women throughout mm-hmm. the Bible gives us hope in how much he honors and values us, and that we are not to be treated as we have been through the years.
Yeah, without a doubt, because everybody loses in this process, and that's not God's
yes.
will. And, you know, I got to imagine, even for the women that says, well, I haven't been treated that way. Well, that's okay. You know, maybe you've just been, you know, fortunate. Maybe you didn't see it. You know, maybe you don't
right.
even know what happened. But that's not the point. But for the women who have, I got to imagine this is, you know, this kind of confirms some things. And it also, you know, reinforces what George Barna has been researching, and that is that why so many young people are disengaging from the church because of its lack of relevancy. And that whole idea of relevancy, boy, goes to the depth of what you're writing about here in, you know, reclaiming your God-designed influence and impact within the American church, you know, the call for Christian women to do that.
Right.
This is awesome. I'm so grateful that you've come on the show, Tanya Hendricks. We've got more from Tanya. We got to go to a short break, and we'll pick it up from there. Stay with us.
All right.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
America, do you want to win the spiritual war against the demons currently attacking our land? Step one comes from the Bible. Lay down the law by resting on the law, and do your resting on our pillowcases printed with His Ten Commandments. Find them at ProjectPillowTalk.com. Don't sleep on this message. Go to ProjectPillowTalk.com or call us at 877-289-7439. When you call, ask to receive another powerful spiritual weapon, free, a CD packed with the secrets of forgiveness using all the instruments of praise written in the Bible, free with your order of our Ten Commandment pillowcases from ProjectPillowTalk.com. Shipping is free too, so call or click 877-289-7439 or ProjectPillowTalk.com. Get your Ten Commandment pillowcases for only $29.95 per set, and watch the darkness flee from the light.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from the Timeshare Exit Hotline, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get out of their expensive timeshare contracts. We're offering you a way to legally get rid of your timeshare. So if you're fed up with the maintenance fees that keep on coming and want to learn if you can terminate your timeshare legally and permanently, call today. Even if you've tried before and were unsuccessful in getting rid of your timeshare, call today and see if we can help. We offer a complete 100% unconditional client satisfaction guarantee. Make this completely free call and learn how we can help you legally put an end to your timeshare nightmare once and for all. You have nothing to lose, so call right now to qualify and receive a free consultation. 800-897-1434. 800-897-1434. That's 800-897-1434. Paid for by Airtime Media.
Hey, we're back with you 18 minutes after the top of the hour, fresh and independent, just the way you'd like to hear from us, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Christian women, reclaim your God-designed influence and impact within the American church. And we had just a little practice session, Tanya and I did. She reclaimed the correct pronunciation of her name, which I'm grateful for. And she was so kind and generous to put up with me for over 9 minutes calling her Tanya. It's Tanya. Tanya Hendricks, the attorney, theologian, and author. Aren't you proud to reclaim that?
I am, yes. Thank you.
Well, and I'm glad that we could facilitate that. And you see how easy it was? And, you know, really, when you think about it, you know, what we're talking about, I mean, this is a perfect case in point. When, in reclaiming your God-designed, I mean, some people might go, and some women, because of, just like you said, oppression, you know, God, I mean, I'm just so heartbroken every time I hear about sex trafficking. This is what drives me crazy, particularly about the open border that we're going through right now, Tanya, I got to tell you. And people say to me, oh, Bill, you're Hispanic. You should have a lot more compassion. I go, what do you mean I should have? I have a lot of compassion, but I don't have compassion the way you do. I have compassion for these women that are coming into this country looking for freedom. And next thing you know, they're sex slaves on these in these sex camps. I mean, it's disgusting what these young women have to go through. And even before then, you know, again, being appreciative and grown up, you know, growing up in the culture, I understand parents, particularly fathers. And you imagine fathers handing birth control pills to their daughters, you know, that are 10, 12 years old, and they go, what's this for? Well, honey, you're embarking on a very dangerous journey, and chances are you're going to get raped. I want to make sure you get pregnant. What? I mean, maybe we'll see you on the other side. I can't even fathom the desperation that those parents must, you know, must be considering to get to that point that they would put their own girls in harm's way to this degree. And here we are facilitating what's going on by leaving this border open and these young women being abused. And as you know, Tanya, you know, in that kind of environment, I mean, your life expectancy is reduced to, you know, maybe less than a decade.
7 years.
Yeah.
Seven years.
Yeah. Is that?
And what is even more heartbreaking is, you know, I think 11 years or so now that I've worked with sex trafficking victims, you know, most of the victims I've worked with were United States citizens. They were mostly domestic minor sex trafficking victims. Mm-hmm. One woman in particular that I worked with, it was so heartbreaking because her quote-unquote adopted dad was using the Bible to make her do what he was making her do. He would tell her that if she did not comply, that she was making God angry. And what he did was he took the Ten Commandments, and that the commandment says, honor thy mother and father, and tell her, if you don't do this, you're not honoring me and you're sinning. And it's that type of use and abuse of the Bible that is just disgusting. Mm-hmm. And I really want to bring light to that, that, you know, people are taking the verses out of scripture and twisting them for their own benefit, whatever purpose that is. And, you know, in a trafficking case, it's just pure evil. I mean, it's
without a doubt
pure evil.
Well,
but they're using it even on the smaller scale, not just to that extent. So we really need to dig in, dive in, and read and learn the Bible and what God says about us.
Yes. Yeah, did God really say? What did God really say about your identity? I mean, he's the one that created you. But if you have no idea, then you're going to assume the identity of those influences, you know, maybe in family and culture in this particular case. And I feel for that man because there's got to be a special place in hell for people that do that.
And he was an elder in his church.
On top of it. Yeah, this is amazing. See, this is the other thing, too. People do not understand what's going on. It's not that the church is perfect. I mean, it's made up of humanoids, okay? And God knew this.
Right.
But it's also, there is a commandment, especially if you are in leadership, that you have to be so connected with the Word of God on a daily basis so that you don't fall victim, that you don't start seeing things according to your eyes and making your own rules and then dangerously misrepresenting God, who you're there to represent. And we know that God does not take lightly any misrepresentation of him, especially with children. Because Jesus said it's better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and thrown in the water, right?
Yes.
Wow, this is crazy. I mean, and the deal is, look at again, ladies and gentlemen, the church has its issues, and we have to continue to pray for the leadership of our church, and also as Tanya's pointing out here, that there has to be a way, you know, to open the doors to take to be able to apprehend the full potential of the body of Christ, and that's your point here. Because we're missing, you know, some critical appendages that happen to come in a dress or they happen to come in a female body. And, wow, you know, how arrogant to think that God would not utilize women when women clearly, when you look historically in the Bible, are used repeatedly by Almighty God in mighty ways, right?
Exactly, yes. Yes, there, I mean, a whole list of women, you know, just in how Jesus, just to point out that Jesus himself used a woman to make the declaration that he had arisen. The first person who Jesus came to and saw after he rose was a woman, and he told her, go tell my brethren. So the first person given a commandment to go and tell men, was a woman. I mean, that's the essential message of for us as Christians, is that Jesus arose, and God entrusted that in a woman at a time where women were not trusted witnesses. At that time in history, women couldn't be witnesses. They were considered not reliable. And Jesus said, no way, this woman is reliable, and I'm giving her the most important message of all time to go and tell the others.
Mm-hmm. And what was her background before that time?
So, well, it's kind of disputed, but what most people think is she was a prostitute. At some point, she was
Well, I guess the reason I'm asking that is that, again, you know, any reason for common folk to discredit and invalidate, but God validates.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, so that's your point. Exactly. But I want people to remember it, because that was the deal. Because they tried to invalidate Jesus, too. They said, hey, we know who you are. We know where you come from. And in so many words, they were just, you know, saying, you know, you're that bastard child. And it sounds terrible, but that was their thought, because they wanted to discredit and invalidate Jesus Christ.
Right.
So that's the nature of the culture. And so... here it is, and we have to encourage women and men alike because of because of mistreatment and things that have happened in the past. You know, our prayer is that God would heal you. God would heal you not only for yourself, but for your family and for others in the church that are waiting right now. You may happen to be that missing bit of fabric in God's tapestry that makes it oh so beautiful and wonderful. And
exactly.
and the people that will be blessed from your insertion into this tapestry are waiting, and they're praying and hoping, and they're in for, just like when they went to the grave and the grave was empty, they're going to be shocked and surprised.
Right. And there is hope. And for the women out there listening, there is hope. And there is Jesus redeems us as women, you know, and he has given us hope, and he has given us a calling on each one of our lives that only he can take away. No man can take that away from us. And so there's tremendous hope found in the Bible and in Jesus and how Jesus interacted with women.
Well, and as you say, you know, in looking at some of the brutal stories of biblical figures like, you know, Dinah and Esther, we got about a minute left. I'm going to let you unwrap that for us, if you would, a little bit.
Sure. So there are stories, you know, we have been told certain stories about Esther. And, I include the story of Esther, and I call her a sex slave, because that's really what she was. We have painted her in this romantic story of being taken in by this king, but she was a sex slave. She persevered, and she was strong, and she, you know, she was there for a time such as this, as, you know, we're told over and over. But she persevered through her slavery. Dinah, what was so heartbreaking about the story of Dinah in Genesis is that she was raped, and we don't hear from her. And so many sexual assault victims need to understand that there is a story in the Bible that they can relate to, because this woman was raped, and then she's discarded. You know, she is a subscript to her own story. Her pain is not talked about. What she went through was not talked about. It was what we hear in the story of Genesis is how her brothers reacted. But they reacted because of disgrace done against their family, not against their sister. And you know, she is completely silent, and her suffering is silent. There is no justice for Dinah in the Bible. And really, there was no justice for Esther in the fact that she was sent there as a slave. She was taken in as a slave. And we talk about Joseph's slavery. We don't talk, and we praise him for persevering through that. We don't recognize that in Esther. And what I really hope that when people read my book is I do challenge some of the thoughts that we have about some of these biblical characters, because I want women to think through it. I want men to think through it. And
Ken Hendricks, thank you so much for being with us.
Are you worried about refinancing your mortgage only to find a better rate later? Introducing the No Regret Refinance from Network Capital Funding Corporation. Mortgage rates are near all-time lows, and Network Capital is now offering one of our lowest 30-year fixed rates ever, 2.375% with a 2.54% APR. With a rate this low, you'll never have to worry about refinancing again. Our unique process is fast, simple, and secure. And right now, the Network Capital 30-year fixed rate is 2.375% with a 2.54% APR. Now, today's low rates won't last, so talk to us about the No Regret Refinance today. Call the experts at Network Capital right now. Call 800-500-1-HIT. That's 800-500-1-HIT. As in home run, call now and save big on your refi. 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1448.
NMLS ID 11712. Not licensed in all states. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Financial Protection and Innovation under the Finance Law Number 603D787. An equal opportunity lender. Rates subject to change and may not be available at rate lock. Discount points may apply. Subject to credit approval. Call 800-500-1448 for additional cost information.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Taliban leaders declared Monday the war is over after taking control of Kabul's presidential palace. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken says he feared U.S. troops would have come under Taliban attack if they'd remained in Afghanistan any longer. President Biden on July 8th discounted a reporter's question that intelligence agencies warned him Afghanistan would fall.
That is not true. They did not reach that conclusion. There's going to be no circumstance where you see people being lifted off the roof of a embassy. The likelihood there's going to be the Taliban overrunning everything and owning the whole country is highly unlikely.
President Biden stayed on vacation while Kabul fell to the Taliban. A handful of people have died at the Kabul airport trying to flee the country Monday. Speaker Nancy Pelosi praised President Biden Saturday, saying in a tweet, "The president should be commended for the clarity of purpose of his statement on Afghanistan and his action." End quote. USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Welcome back. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. Mary Catherine Backstrom is up next. She shares heartbreaking and hilarious stories of how God uses each mess in our lives. Yes, that's true. To bring us closer to Him. She shows us that it's okay to celebrate exactly where we are right now. Holy Hot Mess and All. And that happens to be the name of her new book, Holy Hot Mess, Finding God in the Details of This Weird and Wonderful Life. Mary Catherine Backstrom, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Well, you are a hoot, you know? I mean, you know, and I've been looking forward to this because, you know, in the midst of life and as serious as it's become, it's okay to laugh. And you're bringing laughter, and I mean holy laughter, in where we need it because, you know, as I was talking with one doctor, he said that, that humor and laughter as a healing agent is like exponential. It's like almost three, four times greater than anything else we can do. So he tries to laugh three times more each day. I said, well, Ben, that is a great prescription, and I'm going to hold to that. And I've got Mary Kay Backstrom coming in, so we're gonna laugh and we're gonna have some fun here, okay?
That I love the prescription for laughter. That is one of the most wonderful things I've ever heard a physician recommend. honestly, they say that laughter is the best medicine, but I do have to bump it down to number two because I subscribe to medicine being the best medicine. So laughter is a close second for me. You know, mm-hmm. I do think that if you don't find yourself laughing through life, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to end up succumbing to the hard stuff. And and laughter is therapeutic and it gives you strength. And sometimes if you're able to laugh at your circumstances, you feel a little bit more empowered. You know, we don't really have a lot of control over all of this, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I will say regarding medicine, the right medicine, because we've learned the hard way that there's some bad medicine, and that's not faring too well. But that's okay. I mean, thank God for God. But, you got a lot of notoriety because of, your viral videos. And there was one that kind of kicked it off. And I want you to tell our audience about, what opened the door, for all this, going back to the beginning, because, you did this incredible video that went viral, and, little did you know what you were opening the door to, huh?
That was so wild. I had been blogging for about 6 years before that video happened, and I assume you're talking about the Christmas spirit one, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, my word. So the thing is, I'm pretty much like Buddy the Elf at Christmas time. It is my favorite. I love people's hearts over the holiday season, and I love especially churches over the holiday season. I just think it's such a beautiful time of year. Mm-hmm. And so I bebopped into a gas station one day feeling pretty good about life because it was just before Christmas. Right. And I looked outside and saw this man cleaning my windshield, and I was like, oh, man, I just love this time of year. So I went outside and told him, I love Christmas. I love humanity. This is so great. And I gave him a big hug, and that is when I realized that he was actually cleaning his own windshield. Not mine.
Yeah. His wife is going, why are you hugging my husband?
Right. This poor man was just like, he was like, okay, sure, I'll hug you. To be fair, this was pre-pandemic, so even though it's not normal to hug strangers, it was more normal back then. But so I jumped in my car and I did a little live video and told the story, expecting it to reach some friends and family. And over the weekend, I think it reached 30 or 40 million people. It was the craziest experience, Bill.
Uh-huh. Because, the thing is what we've missed, and clearly we're appreciating it in this COVID era, is human touch. Mm-hmm. Human touch is so important. And here you are going to strange. And, of course, you're from Alabama. Alabama's, you're affectionate types. And we love that. We love that uninhibited affection. I mean, it's pure of heart, right?
Yes. Oh, I love, so I was living in Florida at the time, but I was born and raised in Alabama, and we did make our way back here after that video. as soon as I walk, you walk into a gas station, and people are like, oh, hey, how you doing? Or if it's football season, they'll, throw out a Roll Tide or a War Eagle.
Yes.
I just love the fact that the folks here are so communicative. And that might be where I get this drive to tell stories and interact with people just all the time.
Exactly. Well, because people want to hear, they want to hear the story. So share some holy hot mess stories with us.
Oh, my word. Every day brings a new story. That's kind of the fun thing about holy hot mess. And I think the messaging is there to say, every single one of us has a story worth telling, but don't grind it down so that it's not rough around the edges. Tell your whole entire story. They're all worth telling because we're all these construction sites, right? And God is at work in the details of our mess. And so when I share my stories, a lot of times it brings laughter. Sometimes they're a little bit heavier, but all of the time I feel like the fact that I'm sharing them so candidly and, bringing my mess to the table, people find it relatable.
Right.
One of the ones that probably resonated a lot this month was I was on a vacation with my family right before school started back, and we had two rooms at a hotel. One across the hall, we had my friend who was helping us with the kids, and one that my husband and I were staying in. And so I went to go check my children in. I had no contacts in, which makes me blind at the bat. I said goodnight to my kids, and I walked out in the hallway, and being the friendly type that I am, there was a group of women walking down the hall.
Uh-huh.
And so I saw this lady, she was holding a cowboy hat with a dog in it. And I go, oh, my gosh, can I pet your puppy? And, she looks at me and says, girl, that's my wig. So, without my contact, then I had thought that she was carrying around a puppy, and I reached down to pet this woman's wig, and she was horrified. So I skedaddled back to my room and told the story, and people were like, yep, that's about right.
That's Mary Catherine. She's at it again. Well, you know, they're probably going to want to put a video camera around you 24-7 for all these different episodes you get in. You know, you get yourself
into. Believe it or not, we've had that. I've had folks freak out. They're like, hey, you know, this stuff writes itself. Would you consider reality TV? Mm-hmm. And the thing is, though, I don't want people to see my parenting mistakes on TV. That's the one thing I am not willing to put on blast quite yet.
Yeah, I understand. Well, I love the dedication. I always look at dedications of books, and you want to dedicate this book to your dad. And you said, get exactly the words here, so I quote you exactly. It says, to Daddy, who taught me the life-changing lesson that there's strength in owning your mess. Wow,
yes.
That's wisdom, huh?
It is. It took me a long time to see it, too. My parents separated when I was 5, and so I spent the majority of my childhood with my mother, which you see reflected in the stories in the book. Most of my stories tell about my mom. Mm-hmm. That's because that's who I had the most time with. And obviously, my dad is still alive, but as an adult, I was able to spend more time with him because I wasn't in school in a different city. And getting to play catch up and get to know his heart and soul a little bit better, what I grew to appreciate about him was that those years were hard for him, and he became kind of a broken person, but he was honest about his brokenness, and I felt like that was the most powerful thing, because whenever he was courageous enough to share with me what his weakness was or his insecurities, I felt closer to him. And so it was a life-changing lesson to me that if you want to have true, deep, and meaningful relationships, that you have to bring your brokenness to the table. And so, yeah, I do credit my dad with teaching me that life lesson. He's been humbled by life several times, but now he doesn't shy away from his story, and I think there's so much power in that.
Well, without a doubt, like you said, when you admit it, I mean, the fact of the matter is everybody knows it anyway, right? You're not hiding anything.
Right.
So you just bring it out. You go, hey, this is who I am. So what are they going to say about you? I mean, you know, it's like...
Exactly.
Right.
You're exactly right. None of us, we all know that there's mess and that some people are better at hiding it than others. One of the stories that I said in my book was about, you know, raising 2 children. I had to potty train both of them. Thank goodness we're past that phase.
Yes.
But my daughter particularly would hide behind a curtain and just poop her pants. And she would stand there like I couldn't see her.
Yes.
And I'm like, Holland, you will come out behind that curtain and ask me to clean up your mess. Why are you hiding right now? Mm-hmm. But then it kind of occurred to me that we're not very different from my child hiding behind the curtain, because we do this whole act with God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yes.
Oh, well, I'm going to hide behind the curtain, and you're not going to see my mess, and this is totally fine. But it's silly, because when we really want to get out of our mess, we're going to have to go to God anyway.
Exactly.
It was a lesson for me to just live life out of the curtain.
Right. Well, I think Adam and Eve found out the same thing, too. Hey, we've got more. Stay with us.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. That's 800-628-7226.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit ShopSuperTea.com. That's Shop, S-H-O-P, Super, S-U-P-E-R-T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is ShopSuperTea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's ShopSuperTea.com at 818-984-6100.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Back. Mary Catherine Backstrom is with us, award-winning author, influencer, best known for her viral videos and candid writing on family, faith, mental illness. She's just a bucket of cherries and all kinds of fun. If you love cherries, I mean, who doesn't love cherries anyway? Yeah, exactly. I'm with you. Hey, I mean, it's no holes barred in a holy hot mess, this book. And we talked about things of church, you know, life with your kids, all this. There's few things that even though you suggested earlier, you're not ready to talk about. But I mean, you talk about puberty here. I love this. I love your honesty. I mean, who cannot relate to that incredible mess of a period of life that we go through? With our bodies expanding and everything else that's growing on our body, right? Huh?
Right. Oh, my gosh. I mean, as a parent, reliving that experience and writing it, I was like, oh, man, my kids just aren't ready for this.
your kids and you, because it's one thing the kids go through it, but, what people don't realize is parents, what that does for us. I mean, it's like we want to be there. And I think maybe in some cases this overprotected helicopter type parenting that we've embraced these recent decades and that are not less, they're not necessarily in our best interest or our kids' best interest.
Exactly.
We don't want them to be injured. No boo-boos. We want boo-boo-free kids.
Exactly.
Well, that doesn't work.
There's no way to create a boo-boo-free life, right? And
that's
kind of thing. Like, I mean, if my job as a parent is not to keep my kids in the bubble, it's to prepare them for the bumps and the bruises. And I think that's what I realized is I was reading some of this stuff that I had written, and I was like, oh my goodness, my kids are sneaking up on this age. And I like to think that they are oblivious to just, kind of sketchy things that go on in the world. But the truth of the matter is, when I was my son's age, I knew a whole lot more than I should have. Chances are he knows that much. I need to start having these conversations with them about, like we mentioned, just weird, challenging phases that are right around the corner.
Yeah, exactly. Voice changing, all this stuff, and
bless it.
And hair is appearing in places. What's going on here? Kind of thing. And
that you can easily prepare a child for. Wendy, nobody wants to have that conversation.
Yeah, I mean, do you have that like over dinner or something? I mean, where's the right appropriate place to have that conversation?
If somebody has the answer to that question, please reach out to me because I am still figuring this thing out.
Right. I mean, isn't that amazing? I mean, our kids are guinea pigs. They're a human experiment,
100%.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Yeah, it is.
What's really funny is I used to think my mom had it all. I mean, I really did. When you're young, you assume your parents know everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had this like wake up moment when I was about, I turned 30, and I was like, oh my gosh, my mom at 30 years old was a single mother with three children, working a job, doing all of these things. And I remember thinking she had it all together, but there's no way she did.
Right.
None of us do. And it just gave me so much more respect for her because I felt so secure in my environment. But she had me fooled.
Well, bless her heart for doing that because, you know, I mean, the fact of the matter is, as a single parent, and the other parent, like, you know, so with you and your dad, and you were able to see him part-time. But there's things of you, and I shared this with people, God had shown me a long time ago, that there's things in that child that are distinctly mom and distinctly dad. And those things that are distinctly dad drive your mother nuts. Because she doesn't understand it, right? And then your dad comes around. He goes, why is that a problem? Yeah, I get that. That's no big deal, right? But the things that are distinctly mom then come into conflict, right?
Exactly. I like to. Anytime my children just misbehave, I say those things are distinctly dad. Because they only get the good stuff from me, Bill.
Right. Well, exactly. Well, and that's the way it should be because moms are nurturing types. And they love to nurture. Okay, so tell us a church story. I know you got lots of church stories here.
Oh goodness, let me think of which. I mean, have you read? when you say tell a church story, there are so many church stories. There's the time that my daughter gave the anatomically correct answer when asked how baby Jesus came into the world.
Uh-huh.
That was a special moment in church.
I got kicked out of school. I was put on timeout. But I didn't go full blown anatomic. But we were doing a Christmas play, and I thought we should do a deliverance scene. And boy, I was straight to the principal.
That is hilarious. You know, I have a good Christmas story. It was called a pageant back then. You remember those things?
Yes, right. Exactly. Yeah.
When I was a kid, we have a video of this, and it's known as MC Hammer Lamb. Do you remember MC Hammer?
Oh, yeah. You can't touch this.
Yeah.
Or that.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah, right.
Too. I didn't,
yes.
Yeah, he did
yeah,
that.
Exactly.
Too legit.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought in those amazing pants. But I was apparently a donkey in the manger, and I was teaching the lamb how to do the MC Hammer during my sister's solo about baby Jesus. And so the whole crowd is laughing, and my sister's singing.
You stole the scene?
Not only did I steal the scene, but they thought they were laughing at her. So she got all upset. And then the camera starts shaking. You see my mom's laughing, and she moves over to the manger. And there's just a lamb and a donkey just busting out the running man from MC Hammer during the Christmas song. And, you know, that was a huge hit with the crowd, but my sister was not so thrilled.
Well. And your mother.
Yeah.
And your mother's trying to hold still holding the camera. That's hysterical.
Well, back then those cameras were as big as dang.
Yeah, exactly. Here. Yeah, and they didn't have stability features, right?
No.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably holding it on her shoulder.
I
don't remember the 80s very well, but it was a while ago.
Okay, so what else can we talk? Let's see here. Find your fellow goat thieves. Okay, tell us about this.
Oh, my goodness. My goat thieves. Well, see, that's kind of a fun little phrasing. My generation likes to call this your person. Your person is the person that's, like, the closest to you. You don't, when they come over to your house, you don't have to clean up the house or get ready. You're just in a lounge in whatever clothes you're wearing. You're going to have the conversation that you're feeling. That's your person. A goat thief is very similar. They are the people that are willing to jump into your life and get involved in whatever shenanigans play out.
Mm-hmm.
And I found my first group of fellow goat thieves when I was in high school. I was in a Christian band. We like to joke about how nerdy youth group kids are because we were them. But we named our band Soul Purpose with a U-L, you know, like our
yes,
soul
right,
purpose was
right.
Yours. Right. Yeah, we were pretty pleased with that.
Yeah.
And we went and played this gig at the National Peanut Festival, which I promise you, was a big deal to Dothan, Alabama folks. So that was primo. And we were on stage and, you know, the crowd went wild. And at our break, I decided to go to a petting zoo. And while at the petting zoo, we saw a man reach down and hit this goat because the goat wasn't going over to the kids to get petted. And I was devastated by this. I said, I'm going to save that goat. I'm going to save that goat by stealing that goat. And then this is when I knew I had found my people. All of the bandmates were like, yeah, we're going to steal that goat. We're going to help Mary Catherine get that goat. And so
you got a band and a posse now. This is cool.
We have the whole posse, yes, and we got the goat. And I realized in that moment, I was like, man, I have found some people who are with me through thick and thin. And so now when I find these people in my life, I call them my fellow goat thieves because they're willing to jump in and get messy with me.
Oh, that's so cool. What a great story. Anniversary rats. Anniversary rest.
Oh, Lord.
Yes.
Let me tell you, there are so many phases in my marriage. 15 years this month, actually, we've been together.
Congratulations. And he's still hanging in there in the middle of the mess and everything like that? Or he's got messes of his own, right?
I promise you that, man. Listen, all my girlfriends are like, oh, your husband's so cute. He's a doctor. He works out. And I'm like, let me tell you, we've got... Every person's got their behind-the-scenes mess. My husband's is a little bit well-hidden, but mine is just on my sleeve. We balance each other out in that way. But anniversary rats, I put him on blast in my book because some people just need to know that you do not give your wife a rat for your first anniversary.
A rat. What was he thinking?
Literal rat.
What was he thinking?
You know, though, I think he wasn't. That's
the whole point.
Right. I mean, the man had just started medical school. He was super stressed out. We were living in my sister's basement because when you get married at 20 years old, you don't have two dimes to rub together. And we were having a hard time paying bills. And so we stayed in this tiny little apartment in the bottom of my sister's house. And he just wanted a pet. And he knew that we said no to a dog. And so his solution to this was, as a scientist, to research the safest, smallest pet. And it turns out rats are intelligent. They're very clean, which is interesting because you wouldn't think so. I guess they got a bad rap with the bubonic plague. And
not fair.
Yeah.
We may need to rewrite that history. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm just not a fan. I've never been a fan of rats. And he brought that into our house and tried to surprise me as if this was the greatest gift ever given to a woman. And you can imagine how that played out on our one-year anniversary. He walked me down the stairs with my eyes closed. I thought I was in for some romantic flowers or a song, and I walked, you know, with my little eyes covered up into the room, and he goes, and open your eyes, and there it was, just sitting in its cage, you know, chewing on itself. I about threw up.
It did not
go over very well for my husband. I kicked him and the rat out.
What was he doing? When did he get fixated with Michael Jackson's Rat song or something and thought somehow that made sense for you?
Mr. Jingles would sell me because I love the movie Shawshank Redemption, one of my favorite movies ever. And there's a cute little mouse in it called Mr. Jingles. And so his idea was, I'll get her a rat, but I'll name it Mr. Jingles, and then she'll love it. And that did not work out.
And so he's still in the tent in the backyard, huh? He's been on timeout all this time?
He is. To this day, he stands firm that Mr. Jingles was adorable and that I was unkind to the rat. And so we're at an impasse 15 years running on this rat.
Still going on. That's his story.
He returned the rat to Ed's Pet World. But if you ask Ian, he has a very different version. He said it was adorable and that I was mean.
Okay. So he returns it. But did he? You see, my wife would return something. But, you know, I didn't get to participate in the repurchasing, or she maybe just pocketed the money. What did Dan do?
Well, we got a $75 gift card to Ed's Pet World that is still sitting in a shoebox in my closet because there's nothing at Ed's Pet World that we needed to buy at 20 years old.
I think maybe you ought to put that in a rat cage just right there. Just what do you think?
Like a shadow box. I think that's
cool. I think you just put it there.
I love it.
Oh, great idea. I love it. Mary Catherine Backstrom, Holy Hot Mess, Finding God in the Details of This Weird and Wonderful Life. Remember, laughter, awesome medicine for you. And you will laugh that holy hot mess away and welcome the new ones to come. Mary Kay, thank you.
Right now, millions of Americans have an uneasy feeling about the future. That's why they're quietly stockpiling as much emergency food as they can. What about you? Do you have enough emergency food to get you through a prolonged crisis? If not, take a moment to shop My Patriot Supply. We're America's leader in emergency preparedness and survival. Since 2008, we've served several million American families like yours. In fact, our mission is your survival. So head on over to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few of our tasty emergency food kits. Our food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage and is shipped quickly and discreetly to your door. One day, you might be eating breakfast, lunch, or dinner while everyone else is standing in a food line. Avoid that. It's too late to act once the other shoe drops. It's time to be self-reliant and prepared. And now you can. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The final phase of...